It's one thing to say that you're in communication with or working with the medical community, but you know, when you're talking to people, you also have to listen and you have to act on what you're hearing. And that's not happening.
Where is Michigan's legislature as stage two of the COVID lockdown goes into effect? This is the Stateside Podcast. I'm April Baer. Sunday night, Governor Gretchen Whitmer announced a new round of statewide restrictions as COVID infections surge. For the next 3 weeks, there'll be no in-person learning for college and high school students and no in-person service for movie theaters and indoor dining rooms of restaurants and bars in your neighborhood. So here we are, second stage lockdown. And you can really feel the frustration. Are we right back here again? After everything everyone's given up? That frustration spilled right out into Rob Casalew's Twitter feed Sunday night. He's the CEO of Trinity Health's Michigan Region Hospitals. Right after the governor dropped the new three-week pause, one of the state's Republican leaders repeated a complaint that legislative leaders have not been consulted. Casalew responded in no uncertain terms. He blasted the leadership for basically doing nothing. We wanted to talk to Rob Casalew about this, but also about what's going on at Trinity. Those hospitals are right on the front line for COVID, doing the dangerous work of caring for thousands of people getting sick. I asked Rob Casalew if he was surprised with the governor's latest round of restrictions.
No, I was not surprised. In fact, I will say I was gratified, as well as my peers around the state.
Can you give us a sense of what's demanding most of your attention right now in keeping the hospital's operations going?
Well, we're facing the same thing we faced in April in Southeast Michigan. We're just having a surge of patients arrive at our emergency rooms and now in the hospitals. And we are in West Michigan in a crisis at all the hospitals and climbing steadily in East Michigan. And we have about 500 of our own staff across the state of Michigan that are out with the virus themselves. So that just makes staffing even more critical.
Yeah. How are you thinking about capacity right now in the across the hospitals in the Trinity system? And I guess the other hospitals you partner with?
We all had put in place what we call surge plans, and we worked with the state back in the spring to put together ideas on how we would open up more beds as numbers climbed. And the state of Michigan Department of Health and Human Services was very good working with us in developing and approving our plans. So now we are enacting those. Like in Muskegon, we're opening up. We had moved out of the Hackley Hospital in Muskegon. Now we're bringing 20 beds back online. But here's the thing. We all have our surge plans. The problem is if you don't have people to staff those extra beds that you're opening, doesn't really do you a lot of good. So it's still coming back to staffing. So what we're doing is we're obviously pressing on the staff that we have to work overtime. We have our own pool of nurses that float around different hospitals. We're 100% tapped out on them. And now we're signing contracts with national firms who do contract nurses at extremely high rates. And we're starting to see a few of those nurses arrive in Michigan.
Do you think there's more that Governor Whitmer's administration could or should do at the moment?
The way we view the restrictions, I think there was quite a balance there. And we support 100% what she and the department did yesterday, because it's measured. It isn't a total lockdown. It was really looking at where are the pressure points for this virus to spread, particularly in gatherings and public places where the virus can take hold. And so when you look at what stayed open and what closed for 3 weeks, we think it was really about the right decision in terms of trying to bend this curve.
Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirkey, who has been in dispute with the governor almost since the coronavirus arrived in Michigan, tweeted out yesterday his statement suggesting that the legislature has been trying to work with the governor's office, but that the governor has still been working on her own strategy without input from Senate Republicans. And you tweeted right back at him, suggesting that the legislature has really not been, as he puts it, working with the medical community, that, you know, a phone call or two is not really enough here. Could you say some more about your concerns about how the legislature has responded to the COVID crisis?
Yes, that tweet that I made last night in reply was just a culmination of frustration that I have watched along with my peers and our healthcare workers across the state of watching politics enter into the single largest public health crisis in our lifetime. And it just reached a boiling point for me last night, because I will tell you, the medical community is 100% supportive of the governor and department's orders yesterday. And we have been all along. And I don't get into the politics of this. I'm not supporting the governor because she's a Democrat or against the Republicans. I'm on the side of public health. And right now she's showing us that she's on the side of public health. And I don't understand why our leadership in the House and Senate can't come to grips with the reality of what we're dealing with. And so what you saw last night for me was frustration. Yeah. And I needed to make that known and speak on behalf of our healthcare workers who are running their second marathon in 5 months on this virus.
You know, Trinity certainly has operations in parts of the state where the mask mandate is seen a little differently than in Southeast Michigan. How have Trinity staff been dealing with resistance or just even the perception that the recommendations on COVID might have political motivation behind them?
The one blessing we have is that our healthcare workers are viewed in a very positive light in all parts of the state. I think people express appreciation regardless of their political views or affiliations. So I haven't heard, even though it might happen, I haven't heard directly that our staff are being at all pressured to feel differently about the benefit of masks and social distancing. I do know from our staff that they're so frustrated by the avoidable infections that they see and the avoidable deaths that they see as a result of individuals making decisions not to protect themselves.
Yeah. Is there anything that you would say is keeping everybody going at this point?
Well, you know, people pick this profession and they choose their path based on their values. And we have within Michigan, Trinity, but all the health systems, we just have some of the most dedicated professionals that we could be blessed with. And what's keeping them going is what they signed up for when they chose to become a doctor or a nurse or any kind of staff professional who's dealing in the hospitals with this virus. So that's what's keeping them going. And we're doing our best as a leadership group to support them in every way we can. And by the way, there's a lot of our public who express and support them as well. And they feed off of that and they need that. And for all your listeners, we appreciate that.
Yeah. Is there anything else that you would want folks who rely on Trinity or just others around the state who may be in different places with the spread of the pandemic, anything else you'd like them to hear right now?
What I'd like them to hear is that this is real and this is serious. And what's being recommended is important for all of our safety. And I hope that everyone will become a loud voice of reason. We want our leaders to put aside the partisan politics, and we want them to come together for the greater good. And I think if we as a public continue to say that and say it loudly, maybe people will start to listen.
Rob Casalew is president and CEO of the Michigan Region for Trinity Health. Rob, thank you so much for your time.
Very glad to be with you. Thank you.
So, what do the latest shutdown orders look like for Michigan's restaurants? Even some of the state's most successful spots are really feeling it. We'll hear from one of them after a short break.
Support for the Stateside Podcast comes from the University of Michigan's Go Blue Guarantee, committed to keeping a U of M undergraduate education within reach of all Michigan residents, regardless of socioeconomic status. Programs are available for all three campuses. More at goblueguarantee.umich.edu.
Support for Michigan Public's Stateside Podcast comes from Lake Trust Credit Union, working to empower financial well-being for Michigan consumers, businesses, and communities. Committed to financial solutions and advice to support people and families. More information at laketrust.org.
This winter looks a bit longer and colder, with COVID raging through nearly every community and new restrictions on how we can gather in Michigan. Governor Whitmer's put the brakes on several kinds of businesses, including restaurants and bars. They're facing at least a three-week pause on in-person service. It's kind of hard finding anyone who's happy about these latest measures, but few are less happy today than the Michigan Restaurant and Lodging Association. It's posted a statement reflecting profound disappointment, to quote the release, with a second shutdown. And the association says that there's an inherent and insatiable desire for humans to congregate, often over food. They're predicting more people may turn to crowded social gatherings over the holidays as a result. There's a lot of nuance to what restaurants and bars are going through right now, and all of our favorite spots are still working overtime trying to figure out how to keep operating. Ari Weinswig is the co-founder and owner of Zingerman's, one of Michigan's best-known restaurants and food brands. Ari, welcome back to Stateside.
Glad to be on, although I'd rather be on to talk about food or progressive leadership styles, but here we are.
I know. You and your partner, Paul, are notorious for thinking in flexible ways about your business. How have the past 9 months challenged you?
Well, I think it's safe to say it's challenged everybody. I mean, in this case, it is literally a global pandemic. So it's been a hard year or a hard 9 months for pretty much everybody. I think that all healthy organizations and all healthy people need, you know, are resilient and are always looking for ways to adapt. I mean, this has been the way it's been since the world's history began. So this year is a little more challenging in some new ways, but we're just going to continue to try to collaborate and be kind and stay grounded in the community and committed to our guiding principles and try to get through all this.
What have you noticed about what works and what doesn't work in terms of the restaurant portions of the business during the pandemic?
Well, I'm sure the same as everybody else would tell you. I mean, we're just trying hard to honor public safety and do our part to contribute positively to public health while still taking care of our staff and trying to provide a great culinary and experience and great service experience and talk over loud cars without mufflers. the reality is, I mean, the finances in a restaurant right now do not work for anybody, really. And as a result, the one thing that I wasn't doing in December, but I have been doing since April, is be part of a group called Independent Restaurant Coalition. SaveRestaurants.com is the website. And we've done a lot of good work together. And since June, have been working extremely actively to try to get a bill passed in Congress called the Restaurants Act, which would provide much needed support for independent restaurants all over the country. The independent cafes and small businesses here and all over the U.S. That are struggling, and many have already closed and many are on the verge of closing and just people trying to stay open. So we got it passed in Congress 3 weeks ago, and we're pushing hard now to get it, if we can, get it through the Senate and get it included in whatever relief package gets passed. Because ultimately, that's really the only way people are going to survive. The PPP loans in the spring were a help. And actually, the work of the Independent Restaurant Coalition is what got that bill altered to make it much more effective for restaurants, which were generally not open or only partially open when the bill was passed. But it essentially got us about a mile and a half over a 10-mile wide river. And you know what happens when you get to the end of that mile and a half of bridge if you still got 8.5 miles to go of river.
Sure. With respect to Governor Whitmer's new guidance, was Zingerman's prepared for the latest orders?
We weren't surprised. I mean, she's actually waited longer than most states this time, I'm sure, out of an attempt to try to not have to do it. But, I mean, I'm talking to people all over the country every day, and this is not new news. It's happened in Chicago 2 or 3 weeks ago. It's happened in New York. It's happened everywhere.
There are some locations like Zingerman's Roadhouse on the west side of Ann Arbor that have outdoor seating. Do you think that there is consumer demand to keep that going through the end of the year?
We're going to keep it here because there's no reason not to keep it here. But, you know, when it starts snowing, I mean, even today, it's pretty chilly and I'm the only one out here. But I mean, if people are game for bundling up as they used to do back in the 19th century, I'm all for it. We're all about traditional food, so maybe it's time to start wearing some blankets. And, you know, I run outside all winter, so maybe it's time to start dining outside all winter.
Yeah. As game as you've been to sort of roll with the punches, I know this has been a very difficult year and that you've had to lay off staff. Do you think that the pause on inside seating will mean more cuts?
I don't know. I mean, we're meeting today, tomorrow. I mean, everybody's trying to, you know, you can kind of know it might be coming, but it's, you don't know what's actually going to come until it does. So it's only been whatever, half a day since we got the official word. Mm-hmm. And in theory, it's only 3 weeks. So we're trying to figure that out. And then, like I said, just trying to put a lot of work where we can to help and get this bill passed, because if the Restaurants Act was passed, then that would provide a lot of answers to keep people employed and keep our vendors getting paid, keep farmers getting paid, fishermen getting paid, and landlords getting paid, and really make the whole ecosystem that surrounds independent restaurants viable.
Zingerman's already had some side business, including retail and online mail order food sales, which are world famous. Are people interested in that kind of food right now? Are those units having any success?
Mail order is the one thing that's extremely busy because as people don't go out and don't travel for holidays. So, yes, if people are thinking of ordering for Christmas, early is a good time to order. But we do have a lot of business to be done at the bakehouse, the creamery, the coffee company for retail, and then also for carryout foods for Thanksgiving, which are booking up quickly too.
I feel like every quarantine New Yorker I know is already angling for those Zingerman gifts for the holiday season.
Be good to have them order early. Yeah. But yeah, we do have Thanksgiving stuff from the deli, the Roadhouse, the Bakehouse. Miss Kim has a really great vegetarian package. So we're just trying to come up with creative ways, again, like we said, to keep people safe and do our part to contribute positively to community health and try to stay financially viable so that we can be here when this thing ends.
You know, I take your point that it's really hard to say when that point is going to get here. But how long do you imagine it might take our restaurant industry to recover?
I mean, I don't want to sound dumb, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's there's so much uncertain right now that even if it was certain, I wouldn't really know. But in the current situation, I mean, if the vaccines work, if this happens, if that happens, if we get more grounded leadership, public health front, I mean, there's many things that could play out positively, but I don't know. We're going to just do our best in the spirit of one foot in front of the other and stay focused on our values and try to contribute positively and be kind and treat people with dignity, which is what we've been trying to do since we opened. And let's hope we got a lot more years of that coming up.
Ari Weinswig, co-founder and co-owner of Zingerman's, thank you for your advocacy and for all the food. We hope you can stay safe along with all the staff this winter.
Thank you.
And that's the Stateside Podcast for today. I'm April Baer. You can find the full Stateside show streaming at michiganradio.org. If you've been enjoying the conversations that we bring you, please do rate us and review us. We always want to hear from you. And it really does help other people find the show. Our executive producer is Laura Weber-Davis. Today's show was produced by Mercedes Mejia with help from Jen Guerra and Rachel Ishikawa. Our theme music is by 14KT. Additional music by Blue Dot Sessions. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.